First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
You're listening to Karen Cataline as a regular guest host of the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to another hour of the Alan Nathan Show. I'm your happy guest host, Karen Cataline. I do this regularly when asked and when my schedule allows. And we're going to open this hour with a great guest, a much sought-after guest speaker in Asia, the United States, Latin America, and Europe. Over the last few years, he's written articles and given interviews to many of the world's leading media, including the Daily Telegraph, Forbes, Le Monde, Der Spiegel. He's the author of In Defense of Capitalism. Dr. Rainer Zeitelman, thank you so much for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Hello, thank you.
Yes, good to have you. So, Cornel West is, I guess, a well-known socialist. And I'm looking here at the article that he wants a VP pick who's socialist. Having written a book called In Defense of Capitalism, I'm pretty sure you have a whole bunch of thoughts on that. Give us some of them, if you would.
Yes, of course. These people, the big problem is that they don't know anything about history and that they don't know anything about the world. Because socialism failed all the time. There's not a single example in the last 100 years that socialism improved living conditions for people. Not a single exception. They tried it in so many ways. In China in another way than in Russia. In Yugoslavia another way than in Vietnam or in North Korea. It failed time and again. And so it's hard to understand why a lot of people, especially young people in the United States today, believe that we should abolish capitalism and try another socialist experiment that fails time and again.
Yes. Well, and I would argue, and I don't think you would disagree necessarily, that only the bandwagoners buy into the notion that socialism is kinder and more equal and more fair. The people who are actually directing these things to encourage people to be more socialist, it's power, isn't it? It's raw power, because it's only them who get to divvy up the spoils, you know, two for me, one for you, three for me, none for you. That's the part that people don't understand, because they virtue signal about how fair and they want things to be more just, right?
Yes, of course. You know, in the last 20 months, I've been in 30 countries all over the world, especially in former socialist and communist countries. I'll give you one example. This is exactly what you were saying. I've been in Albania. Albania was the poorest country in Europe. The people were so very poor, already starvation and hunger. But there was a small elite of the communists with the dictator Enver Hoxha. And they lived in a district, they called it the Block. And there you could buy all the things from, you know, from Western countries, You had nice restaurants and shops. And now the funny thing is, the dictator, Enver Hoxha, he almost never left this block. He was not in other countries. He didn't even visit his own country where people lived in poverty. He was only always in his so-called block. And in this time, he wrote 65 books, How Great Socialism Is. That this is the reality of socialism. For him, it was great, but not for the people. And I have another book now. This is brand new. It's called How Nations Escape Poverty. Everyone should read it, because this is about two former socialist countries. The first country is Vietnam. You know, in Vietnam, first there was the war, but what was not destroyed by the war was destroyed by the planned economy. And in the 90s, it was the poorest country in the world, poorer than all African countries. And then you have it in my book. They started with free market reforms. They started with more capitalism. They started with private property. And now it's amazing. I've been there. You have a lot of entrepreneurship. They still call themselves socialists. But this is fake. I can guarantee you it's easier to find a Marxist in a university in the United States or in Europe than in Vietnam. I
don't very, very easy.
No one believes in this shit because they had the experience and they saw that capitalism, you know, I give you only one number. 1990, 80% of people in Vietnam lived in extreme poverty. Today it's less than 5%. How did it happen? Because of more capitalism, private property. It's so easy.
Doctor, isn't that also happening in the former so-called satellite countries of the old Soviet Union? There is a burgeoning free market because they've been there. They've done that. They know where it leads. Places like Hungary and Czechoslovakia, not like it was when I was a kid. Tell us about those areas.
Yes, this is a very good question. And, you know, in the book that I mentioned, How Nations Escape Poverty, I have a large chapter about Poland. And in Poland was one of the poorest countries in Europe. People had, they earned only $50 the month in 1990. $50 the month was very poor. They had to stand in long queues, in long lines, hours and sometimes even for days to get only something to eat. This was the reality of Poland. Now, it's Europe's growth champion. It's one of the fastest growing countries in Europe because they started in 1990 with capitalism. And this is amazing what happened there. So I have a film. Everyone can get it for free. The title of the film is Poland from Socialism to Prosperity. It's an amazing story what happened there. And now, the interesting thing is, I commissioned a poll in 35 countries all over the world about the image of capitalism. And the best image of capitalism is in Poland, even more than in the United States. By the way, I hope it's not too loud. Here's a big, big thunderstorm. Very
extreme. It's working fine. No, we can hear you just fine. I'm glad.
If you could see, there's a lot of ice coming now from the, I don't know how you call it. Yes, there's a lot of ice there, very loud.
like a hailstorm. Dr. Zeitelman, maybe it's because I'm partly teasing. You're speaking the truth. And now there's thunder and lightning because you're speaking the truth. It's so funny about this, you know, broad argument that conservatives, some of them not capitalists at all, not really understanding or philosophically on the same page with the very conservatism that they claim, you know, the Republican Party is, you know, the elites are not so capitalist. I just posted on my Twitter page right before I came on the air an old interview between Phil Donahue and Milton Friedman. And he's making the exact same argument you are about prosperity and what creates prosperity. Donahue is just freaking out because Milton Friedman is not apologizing for capitalism and free markets. And he does it in such a calm way, kind of like you do.
And I admire him. And I have one thing in common with him. You know, I produced the film with the Free to Choose Network, and they produced the films with Milton Friedman, Free to Choose. And then they
came to me because
they read my book, The Power of Capitalism, and they asked me, here, we want to do it again, what we did with Milton Friedman. You can see also my film. It's called Life Behind the Berlin Wall. You can see it on YouTube.
Oh, my. And we've done the experiment. Doctor, I know this is we're at the end of the interview, really, but for these young people who have been indoctrinated that socialism is merely another economic system, what is one of the most persuasive arguments that free marketeers and lovers of liberty can make to them?
I would say it in three sentences. 200 years ago, before capitalism, 90% of the worldwide population lived in extreme poverty. 90%. Today, it's less than 9%. I think you need no other argument for capitalism. The reduction from 90% to less than 9%. And this happens time and again. You can see it in my book, How Nations Escape Poverty.
Okay. Dr. Rainer Zeitelman, get his book. Thank you so much for joining us. We so appreciate it. Well, Yes, thank you. As we move through this hour, we're going to take a quick break and we'll have a marvelous guest next. Don't go away. You won't want to miss that on the Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Wireless connectivity is crucial for Americans. Smartphone technology, network speeds, and mobile services are key. But many people don't realize there's major value to be found in added customer benefits. T-Mobile is putting customers first with a new customer appreciation program. Experience VIP treatment with T-Mobile's Magenta status. New one-of-a-kind deals and experiences on nationally loved brands like hotels, rental cars, concerts, movie tickets, and more. Plus, discounts and freebies every week from T-Mobile, all at no extra cost. For T-Mobile, Cassie Slane.
With Magenta status, T-Mobile customers can now get sweet perks like 15% off across Hilton's 22 leading hotel brands worldwide and upgrades to Hilton Honors Silver. Free fuel top-off at Dollar or recharge at Hertz when returning your rental. $5 movie tickets every month and 25% off some of the hottest shows of the year.
Magenta status gives customers over $1,500 a year in extra value, all for just being T-Mobile customers. Sponsored by T-Mobile.
The Department of Transportation's Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, or FMCSA, is now accepting applications for 5 federal grant opportunities that enhance commercial motor vehicle safety. Last year, more than $125 million in grants funded initiatives were awarded by the program. Funding recipients were empowered to promote access to commercial driver's license programs, prevent human trafficking within the industry, conduct commercial motor vehicle safety-related activities, deploy innovative technology efforts, advance transportation safety research, and more. Together, we can significantly reduce serious injuries and deaths on our nation's roadways. Prospective applicants are encouraged to learn more about these grant opportunities and how to apply at fmcsa.dot.gov/grants. Applications are due by April 19th. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. It is good to have you. And if you would like to access the archives of the Alan Nathan Show, you have only to go to www.mainstreetradionetwork.com and you'll find a veritable treasure trove of history of the Alan Nathan Show. We're glad to welcome our next guest, the editor of BearingArms.com and host of the popular podcast Cam & Company. He's also a member of the board of Citizens Committee to Keep and Bear Arms. You know what we're going to be talking about, the Second Amendment. Cam Edwards joins us right now on the Alan Nathan Show.
Hey, thanks so much for the invite.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. So our current occupier of the White House, Biden, vows to further regulate gun sales, but Tennessee allows teachers to carry guns. What's going on And we talk about this a lot around here, but we'd love your take.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing here is the, you know, growing divide between the left and the right when it comes to our right to keep and bear arms, as well as, you know, how useful firearms are in terms of personal safety or the safety of others, right? I mean, you talk about Tennessee voting to allow teachers to carry in the classroom with training, you know, with vetting, and the left is losing their mind over that, right? Meanwhile, Joe Biden wants to try to criminalize you offering a firearm for sale and says, well, you need a federal firearms license if you're going to do that. Otherwise, we could charge you with a federal felony and put you in prison for 10 years. You're right. I mean, these are two very dramatic approaches and very different approaches to what our right to keep and bear arms looks like. And unfortunately, you know, one of the two major political parties in this country is intent on stripping us of our Second Amendment rights.
Yes. And it's so insidious in that every time there is a terrible, awful event that happens in which somebody uses a gun for to commit crimes, they reliably go after law-abiding citizens who committed no such crimes, right? They've been getting away with that forever. And I don't see that changing. Your thoughts?
I hope that it does. But like you, I don't really see that changing. It has been their modus operandi for decades now. I mean, you'll remember back in the bad old days of Washington, D.C.'s handgun ban. That was their entire argument, right? Is that, well, handguns, I mean, they're the most common gun used in crime, so of course we got to ban them. As the Supreme Court said in Heller, listen, these are also the most commonly used firearms that people purchase for self-defense. So just because a criminal uses a gun doesn't mean that you can ban guns, right? I mean, think about that for a second. What other rights, could we just disappear in the name of public safety? Maybe we shouldn't have a Fourth Amendment right to be secure in our person and property, right? Imagine how much easier it'd be to arrest suspects if we could just stop anybody at will and pat them down, right? What about our First Amendment protections?
Well, the radical left wants all of those. But yes, go ahead.
Absolutely.
Back up, because I talked over you. Please. Please repeat that part.
I mean, the same goes for our First Amendment, right? We know that people are using platforms like Snapchat and Facebook to advance sex trafficking. Does that mean that all of us, that we should just ban social media because it would make it harder for those criminals to operate? That's not how we treat our rights in this country. But that's exactly what they do with our right to keep and bear arms.
Well, and it's not how we ever treated all of our rights. Many would argue, and we can't talk about it all, that every single one of our rights in the Bill of Rights is under attack, from the right to privacy in our papers to the right to free speech and the freedom of expression, freedom of religion. They're all under attack. But with this pretext that a lot of people buy into, that we're just trying to protect you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. What has it Ben Franklin said about, sacrificing your freedom with a promise of safety?
Yes.
Listen, according to the FBI, according to a lot of police departments around the country, what we're seeing right now is a historic decline in homicides around the country. And that is without any major new pieces of gun legislation. That's with tens of millions of new gun owners over the past few years, right? The gun control advocates claim that more guns always equals more crime. And yet that's not what we're seeing here.
It's usually the opposite.
Reduction in homicides.
Well, since you're talking about better news than people who want to disarm the victim but never go after the criminal. In fact, they let the criminals out of jail, but they imprison victims, which is quite disturbing reality. Talk about this Tennessee law that allows teachers to carry guns.
Yeah, after the shooting in Nashville last year at Covenant School, there's a major push to advance some gun control legislation in Tennessee. Governor Bill Lee had called for a special session. He wanted a red flag law. Republicans rejected that. And they made sure that any response was not going to impact negatively our right to keep and bear arms. But at the same time, they were very much interested in improving school security and improving school safety. So, they've taken steps to prosecute juvenile offenders. They've taken steps to increase security in private schools. But this would open the door to to allowing trained and vetted volunteers, right? No one's going to be ordered to carry a gun when they're on the job at school. But if teachers want to volunteer to take on that responsibility, the state of Tennessee is going to have their backs. And we have seen this in more than just Tennessee, right? I mean, Texas has hundreds of school districts that have adopted guardian programs. You armed teachers in Iowa, Utah, and Colorado, a number of other states. And, you know, this is common sense to me, particularly for smaller school districts that can't afford school resource officers, rural districts where law enforcement might be 20, 30 minutes away. You want that first line of defense in case somebody comes on campus with evil intentions, with murder on their mind.
Yes.
Why on earth you would want to ensure that those killers face an unarmed group of victims is beyond me, but that's exactly what the anti-gunners want.
Cam, it's head scratching in the extreme as to why the notion of good people who want to protect children, we have armed guards that protect our money, and that doesn't seem to scare them, but somehow armed people protecting children who are volunteers and trained terrifies them. They think the gun is going to jump out of that person's hand. And I guess I think a lot of it is the propaganda of the radical left that really just wants to disarm victims. What do you think?
Oh, I think you're right. I mean, in Utah, for example, the governor signed a bill this session that would increase training opportunities for teachers, which is good, right? They're going to get more training. The gun control activists were even opposed to that. So it's not about a lack of education. It's not about a lack of training. It's about the idea of, you know, guns in schools, right? Listen, you don't have to like the fact that there are armed teachers out there, but I guarantee you that if somebody went to your child's school with the intention of murdering students, you would much rather have
you'd want somebody to try and stop them.
Well,
they're on planes too. You just don't know them. I'm so sorry we had to cut you so short. Tell everybody how they can find you, follow you. Cam Edward.
You bet. Just check out bearingarms.com.
Bearingarms.com. We got to wise people up, and it sounds like you're doing a great job of it. Thank you for joining us. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and I'll have some thoughts when we return. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Remote work environments have given employees increased freedom and flexibility. With that comes a variety of security risks. With employees no longer tied to the office infrastructure, IT must securely manage remote employees' devices no matter where they are. A user's device can create an opportunity for hackers to breach an organization. That device must also easily connect users to IT resources so they can be productive. The Open Directory platform provider JumpCloud offers the solution for successful device management. JumpCloud VP Eric Brown.
With JumpCloud, you can manage your entire fleet, regardless of operating system or location, and create a scalable device management foundation. IT personnel can manage all types of devices from a single cloud console, and employees get to work on their preferred devices. JumpCloud helps you achieve compliance, monitor events, manage device data, enforce policies, patch machines, and more.
To learn more, visit jumpcloud.com.
In national health news, Waltham, Massachusetts-based Invivid has received emergency use authorization from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for its investigational monoclonal antibody for pre-exposure prophylaxis or prevention of COVID-19 in adults and adolescents who have moderate to severe immune compromise and are unlikely to mount an adequate response to COVID-19 vaccination. Invivid's Chief Executive Officer David Herring commented.
As we've seen lately, SARS-CoV-2 continues to spread and cause unacceptably high levels of illness, hospitalizations, and death. The threat from COVID is not over, especially for vulnerable populations such as the immunocompromised.
Studies have shown that moderately to severely immunocompromised people, such as organ transplant recipients and people with certain blood cancers, among others, may not have a strong immune response to vaccines. Monoclonal antibodies work differently than vaccines to provide protection against viral threats. This new investigational therapy has been authorized by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for emergency use only. It is not FDA approved for any use, and there is limited information about the safety and effectiveness of using this investigational therapy for prevention of COVID-19. It is not authorized for treatment and is not a substitute for vaccination in individuals for whom COVID-19 vaccination is recommended. For the Food and Drug Administration's letter of authorization and product fact sheets, visit this website, invivid.com. Once again, that's INVIVYD.com. The content in this report was provided by Invivid, Inc.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. If you'd like to contact me, if you have thoughts, comments, rants, whatever, you know, we're the side of the aisle that welcomes debate, dissent, disagreement, all the D's, right? We love that because that's the mark of a free country. So if you'd like to venture in and send me an email and give me feedback on anything at all, Karen at KarenCataline.com is the place that you can do that. Well, I have a couple of thoughts, and this, you know, I always love doing the Alan Nathan Show, but especially when we do these large scale, I guess you could call them philosophical discussions that we've been engaged in this hour and the last, capitalism versus communism, the Second Amendment versus gun control, centralized planning versus the messiness of a free society that tolerates disagreement and does not fix their differences by force. Those are just some of the bywords and the pillars, if you will, of a free society and of America. And it was created that way. I mentioned that sadly, the people who would like America to go away, people who really hate America, and they're not just in Dearborn, screaming death to America. There are in many places in America who have been taught to hate themselves, hate America, and it's never been more palpable and more obvious that they hate everything that America stands for. Sadly, they've been indoctrinating children and, in, of course, people of all ages to basically be suicidal about their country, to either do what is destructive to America or to advocate for its destruction. I don't think that's anywhere near the majority, but you can feel it, you can see it, that there are people that no matter how much they couch their so-called arguments in, well, but it's for everyone's good, and I am just a more generous human being than you because of X, Y, and Z, that really they have great hatred for America and her values. So I mentioned that I had tweeted something that I was proud of this morning right before I came on the air, and you can find it at Twitter. It's one of the few social media things I still do, at Karen Cataline, at Karen Cataline. And that is a meme from Brainy Quote, got to give him credit, and over a bunch of leaves. It's kind of a pretty picture. Quote, you know, on this meme, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Now, you've heard that a lot, but I had to look it up because I keep forgetting who said it. Well, it was John Adams that said it. And as our friend John Zemirak pointed out, it is these are among the things that the elites, sometimes on both sides of the aisle, are trying to separate us from, is the reference for these brilliant founders, framers of our Constitution, who foresaw a country based in freedom, individual liberty, and personal accountability. And they admitted that the Constitution was only made for a moral and religious people. I add that they understood that America should not have a sponsored religion, which is why they created the religiously pluralist society that they did, and it is in the First Amendment, that it does not necessarily, America has always welcomed many religions, but people of faith, people who hold themselves accountable to a greater authority than government and to men, is what they had in mind. So when I posted this, I added, this is what I am just telling you, our Constitution, the quote, was made for a moral and religious people. This is the one and only reason why communists are trying so hard to destroy America's morals and her faith. It is not accidental, ladies and gentlemen, that we see today irresponsibility of protecting law-abiding citizens from crime and validating criminality, immorality of all kinds, and going after people of faith, that those are the pillars that has kept America, America, for so many, for well over 200 years. It is not that America ever was or meant to be a theocracy. No, America was, as John Adams points out, was made for a moral and religious people who were free to practice their religion, but who also understood that the laws of men were based on natural law and were inspired, the Constitution, by Judeo-Christian values. And those are precisely the things that the communists, the avowed communists, people like Cornel West and others, who are more loud and boisterous about their communism and their hatred of America than ever before in our lifetimes, and I might even add anyone else's in the history of America, we have an inordinate number of people who hate this country and want to change it. We had a previous president who said that he wanted to fundamentally transform America. Many people argue that this is his third term. And now we're beginning, we're in the middle stages of seeing what he wanted and wants to transform America into. An America where law-abiding citizens are the criminals and criminals are the victims. I would argue that that is only a means to an end, ladies and gentlemen, because once you break down, destroy personal responsibility and you start to elevate criminality, you know that in San Francisco, you can steal up to $950 and not expect any kind of consequences. Of course, if you stand up on social media and elsewhere and you tell people that you are interested possibly in voting for Donald Trump, that could get you censored and punished. So we're living in an upside down world today. And I would argue that this is not accidental. It is not accidental. Breaking down America and America's character, breaking America's morality is being done before our very eyes. It is, and Americans generally have been a generous and, a generous people. And if you market the breaking of morality or just taking away of personal accountability and you market it as being kinder and more compassionate towards your fellow man, not only is that not true, because you don't serve anyone. It's kind of like when you're a parent. You don't serve your kid if you don't hold that kid responsible, accountable for his behavior, so that he or she will learn that there are consequences for your behavior. Maybe not in a lawless America, but in life itself, there are indeed consequences. The universe finds a way to hold you accountable. So it's wise to be accountable first and to go on a long journey of striving to do right instead of evil. And that goes for any religious faith that reveres good over evil. So what do we do here? And I'm always going on, and I don't have a simple explanation other than to hold fast to the things you know are universally true for your own self, for your own family and your behavior, recognizing that these are the things the radical left and communists hate most. They hate principles, they hate morality, and they hate America, which was founded on freedom. Well, those are my thoughts today. We got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show with one more great guest, and we'll be talking a little bit about, you guessed it. No, you didn't guess it, because I didn't guess it. State charter schools. So don't go away. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
The Department of Transportation's Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, or FMCSA, is now accepting applications for 5 federal grant opportunities that enhance commercial motor vehicle safety. By investing in these projects, FMCSA envisions safer highways, reduced crashes, and a more secure transportation system. These grants will also make commercial vehicle driving safer and more efficient, while creating opportunities for our tribal communities, veterans and military families, and others within the trucking industry. Together, we can significantly reduce serious injuries and deaths on our nation's roadways. Prospective applicants are encouraged to learn more about these grant opportunities and how to apply at fmcsa.dot.gov/grants. Applications are due by April 19th. Those within our tribal communities are encouraged to submit applications for these grants. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
The results are in. In a nationwide double-blind taste test, Applebee's Classic Buffalo Boneless Wings reign supreme as America's favorite boneless wings. To celebrate, Applebee's is offering boneless wings for 50 cents each for a limited time, available for dine-in, to-go, or delivery. Head to your neighborhood Applebee's or visit applebees.com or mobile app to celebrate with this unbelievable deal. Price, participation, and selection may vary. Now that's eating good in the neighborhood. Sponsored by Applebee's.
Reports show Florida leads the nation in the sale of illegal disposable vapes from China. Here's former Congresswoman Mary Bono.
Because of inaction from the Biden administration, Florida became the number one state for illegal disposable vapes from China. In response, Florida's state legislature proposed a directory to help law enforcement get these illegal disposable vapes off of store shelves. Contact your legislator today and ask for a vapor products directory in your state.
Sponsored by Communities United for Smart Policy.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about one in four car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed. And they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, and we are delighted to wrap up this show with a guest from the CEO. She is, she is CEO of the Center for Education Reform. She was formerly a senior official in the U.S. Department of Education and a regular contributor to Forbes Online. Jean Allen joins us right now on the Alan Nathan Show. Welcome, Jean. Thanks for being with us. Are you there?
Hi, Karen. How are you?
I am well. It's good to have you on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, it's no secret that the left loves government education and hates any education where parents have more control over their own kids' education. Tell us about this ranking of states and charter schools with regard to that.
Well, what we know is all parents, no matter where they come from and who they are and what politics they subscribe to, care the most about their kids. And one phenomenal way to provide the education that best meets your child's needs is to give them access to high-quality options. And one of those options, as we know, in the last 30 years in America, has been something called charter schools, public schools, accountable for results, open by choice, and free from most of the rules and regulations that typically bind other traditional public schools. And so charters are one of many ways that parents choose to educate their kids. But the rub is states have to create laws that allow for those to proliferate. And not every state law is equal. You have strong laws, you have weak laws. And almost annually, CER analyzes and tracks the effect of the various laws on whether and how expansive charter schools get open. And so we just released our annual charter school law ranking and scorecard. And most states do not have the best laws that provide for those options and flexibility, which, given how poorly our nation is doing in education, is really a shame. And so we call it out for policymakers. We call it out so parents can be empowered to make changes. And we call it out because it's important that kids get a school of their choice that best meets their needs.
Yeah, it is well known that one of the very few positive things that came out of the nightmare that was the pandemic for everyday people, who overnight it seemed we were living in a police state, and we were being told that that was totally okay because, again, we're here to protect you. What we found was that parents got a chance to actually look at what their kids were being taught in public school. It has only gotten worse since then. What can you say about the growth of charter schools since then and the left's relentless attempt to destroy them, regulate them, get them under the control of the government?
Well, I would say that more than anything, it was the teachers' unions who have, a complete lock on policies in most cities and communities over how education is run. That really was the culprit, if you will. And what we know is that during the pandemic, the schools most likely to turn on a dime, reopen, and support students were the various schools of choice, from charter schools to private schools. Charter schools had actually been pretty stagnant in terms of opening and expansion up until that point for the prior 3 years, because there's been so many attacks on giving people these options. And then charter schools began to grow rapidly and have continued to grow. Since 2019, there has been a tremendous amount of growth in those states. And there are now some 3.7 million students in charter schools across almost 8,000 schools in 46 states, plus the District of Columbia. And that's just going to continue to grow, along with other education choice options that we also rank and evaluate. In the next few weeks, we'll be releasing our annual Parent Power Index that shows how friendly states are towards parents having power over a whole range of options for their kids. And so charters are one element. ESAs, scholarship programs, vouchers, and other kinds of community hybrid organizations. Look, we are not in a position to pick and choose exactly what kind of education every child should have. In fact, we know one size doesn't fit all. That's an old, tired, worn phrase, but it's true. And we know that parents, particularly parents who don't wake up in the morning able to afford where they live, or choosing where they live, or going to a more affluent community or private schools, need those options. The other thing that's really important is teachers not unions, but teachers want that flexibility and freedom to be able to design and deliver education. And so we run a program called the YAS Prize that actually finds, rewards, and celebrates education entrepreneurs who do great things for kids. We have rewarded over 200 organizations in the last few years since COVID, over $50 million to expand, and they are charters and they're public, and there's a lot of great public educators out there, and they're ed tech, and they're community groups, and they're museums, and they are people who are providing a lifeline to great education that traditional systems haven't had to because they're not held accountable. So there's a whole bunch of solutions, opportunities, and innovations out there, and every parent just needs to know that there are myriad ways to educate, and we should be taking advantage of 21st century tools and approaches that sometimes just don't get to bureaucracies or get very far up the ladder.
We're talking to Jean Allen, CEO of the Center for Education Reform. I love your passion and your knowledge. It appears that Florida, Arizona, and surprisingly Washington, D.C., are the only states to earn an A in the report that you're talking about as to how friendly states are to charter schools. What are some of the worst states for charter schools in America?
Some of the worst states include, sadly, Maryland and Virginia, which are right outside the nation's capital. Nation's capital, in fact, has almost 50% of their kids in charter schools, because it's got a very independent leadership board for chartering. But Maryland is a D. Virginia is an F. Number of them. Come to our website.
Did you say Texas?
Texas is lower than most, sadly.
Okay. Jean, we got to go.
Others, yeah.
Tell
yeah.
everybody how they can find that report and find you.
Go to edreform.com and you will see rankings for your states and learn what you need to do about that.
Jean Allen, thank you so much for joining us. That wraps it for this edition of the Allen Nathan Show. Thanks for being with us on the Main Street Radio Network.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.